You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to part two of our time with our friend Bill Spencer. Man, we are so excited to have you on again. But guys, welcome to the Known Legacy Podcast. We want to help you wake up, gear up, and come alive to who God called you to become. Man, you don't want to miss. If you missed last week's, go back, pause this, go back to last week, listen to it. It's going to bless you. But this week, we're excited to even hear some more. So, Travis, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, man. I'm doing really well. If you want to know, last week we talked a lot about Bill and how God woke him up. And how that continual
not this waking, Bill, the other Bill,
right? How there's a continuation of that waking up to who we are in Him, not who we are in ourselves, and stuff like that. And this week we're going to kind of unpack, like, okay, so once God wakes you up, you know, then what does it look like? How is He going to gear you up? And what does it look like specifically for you to come alive? So I'm very excited about the conversation. As always, thank you guys for checking us out, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, or if it's on YouTube.
All the things.
We greatly appreciate it. If you're listening to a podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We do this because we believe that God's changing lives, men and women, throughout. And so whether you're listening to this the year we record it in 2026, or we're listening to it in the year 2029, it doesn't matter. God is faithful.
At that point, I'm pretty certain that there will be AI skeletons crushing my skeleton.
Probably.
So it was nice being on Earth.
We are
not
AI.
We are legit.
So as always, info@knownlegacy.org. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or prayer requests, we'd love to pray for you guys wherever you are and whatever God has you going through. And finally, if you want information about Bill and some of the ministry that we have through Known Legacy, go to knownlegacy.org. So Bill, tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we got a couple things coming up. We'd love you guys to be a part of every Thursday morning at 6:45 Central Time. We have a men's adrenaline shot Bible study that's on the phone. I know you have not given me any kind of weird little things lately.
I got burned out on it. I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. You're fine.
I failed.
We'd love you guys to join us. It is a call-in study. There's no pressure. We'd love you to just be a part of it. We want to encourage men to understand their value as children of God. And so every week we catch up, we meet, we pray, we talk, and we hear truth from God's word. And so that link will be below. We'd love you to be a part of it. If you are feeling right now, man, God, I think you're doing something in my life, and you want to really assess where you are. We have a free wake-up guide and 7-day reset that we have created just for you to just begin the journey, or maybe just say, hey, I got to re-kickstart what God is doing in my life. It is for you. It's free. It's a download right below. Click the link there. We'd love to have you be a part of it, as well as our Known Legacy Brotherhood that we have on Facebook.
Yep.
That we'd love you to join as well. It's just an encouragement time. Hear prayer, you know, get some prayer requests in. And be encouraged by others, and as well, pick up our book, More Than You, which has a free men's 10-session book study for you, for guys, for your church. We'd love to be a part of that. So check it out. All those links are below. And Father, and so excited again about, man, all that God is doing. And so keep a lookout for us on knownlegacy.org.
So without further ado, question of the day.
Question of the day!
Question of the day is simply this. If money was not an issue and you could do anything you wanted to impact others. This is not for yourself. So, Kyle, I don't want to hear about you buying a boat and sailing around the Caribbean, okay? But to impact others.
Yep.
What would you do?
Just for the record, I could impact others.
Their economy. I could impact the with tipping. I could really, fair. I stand corrected. So thank you, Kyle, our producer in the corner. I appreciate that. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. One thing that I'm finding as we do this ministry more and more is how many men are lonely.
Yes.
And one of the visions God has given us is these meetups, these connections. And so if money wasn't an option, I would probably do one in every single city with guys who are a part of Known Legacy right now and just have free opportunities for guys to connect up, go play top golf, hang out, whatever it is. But I'm finding that every time we do one of those, more guys connect.
Yes.
And they feel less alone. And, man, we talked about it even on the last podcast that, man, loneliness or the desire for relationships is so important. And so so if you are an angel donor and want to give us $1 million, I would love to host those everywhere. Info@knownlegacy, I'd love to have you do that. That really seriously is what I mean, because I'm already doing what I love to do.
Yep. Yep.
And
Oh, it's a good place to be, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, Travis, what about you, man?
Okay, so I would a little backstory. So we are passionate about relational development. That's what you're talking about, Bill. Mm-hmm. Getting guys to connect with each other. And I think the church, in a lot of ways, has a really good cognitive development, is what I talk about, like teaching Bible, teaching understanding of the Bible. I think one of the things that we really are missing out is character development. And how do we really get into the heart of a guy to help him and develop his character? And so I, as a church planter, I have the opportunity to work with and coach and sometimes journey alongside other church planters. And one of the things I would love to do is free up time and space for a guy to come in for a year and learn not just the cognitive, like, here's how to church plant, here's some philosophies on it, but more importantly, the character stuff. Because it's the character stuff that's going to trip you up. It is not the plan, and it's not the finances. It's the character stuff. And no one's doing a really good job on that, at least in my tribe, to develop the character. So I would create a space for guys and their families to come into town and make it happen. Bill's raising his hand across the table. I'm excited about that. Kyle, what about
Bill
you?
Bill 1.0. I'm Bill, like, 7.0.
Yes, yeah.
Well, the obvious answer would be to help Known Legacy, because I really believe that. But I would do that, but I think what I would do would, if I didn't have to worry about money, I could just pretty much travel around and go to different places and, you know, not only share God's word, but help try to establish some kind of an outreach, like a Known Legacy or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
And
you can use a boat for that too, just so you know.
I could use a boat. But it would be I think maybe in the US we need a lot more of that right now.
Yes, I agree with you.
But I think that's what I would do.
You know, in fact, I will put in the session notes as well. We have a survey because I'm trying to write a new book on this, and there's a survey about loneliness. And right now, we're finding that only 36% of guys would say they have someone really in their corner.
Golly,
and I still think that's kind of high.
Yeah,
you know, most guys don't feel like have someone who's not just playing golf with them or going out drinking or whatever, you know, all this kind of thing, but they, someone who's literally cheering them on to become more like Jesus, it's less than 36%. So I agree with you, Kyle. I think the more we could do that, we'll work together. So if our dreams are together, I'll get on your boat and we'll go do this. We can go from port to port and make this happen. So
I love it. Bill, what about you? Across the table, Bill 2.0.
Bill 1.0.
Wait, is that me?
Yes, that's you.
That's you. Hey, everyone, welcome to our guest. This is part two of the conversation, and we're very excited about it. So,
Bill Spencer, welcome back to the podcast. Sorry we never did that.
Yeah. I love the fact that everybody basically said, do what I'm doing. Yes. Like, I just keep, I mean, that's a settled life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's my answer.
Yeah.
If time, money, health, or no consideration, what would I do? Exactly what I'm doing.
God bless it.
I just would, because before that, I did what I thought I wanted to do, and it led to nowhere. Vanity, I think they say, right?
Yep.
And then woke up and went, okay, wait a minute. What would you do, God, through me?
Right.
If I just handed you the pen, what would you do?
Right.
Right?
I love it.
I do what I do. I got to follow up on what you said, though.
Go for it.
You said, what percentage of guys said they had somebody in their corner? Like
30? The survey that we did, about 35.8%.
Wow. So
that's just an independent survey that we have. We're trying to get over 150 men to do. We've got over half of that have taken that survey, and that's what we've got so far.
So here's a follow-up.
Yeah.
On the break between the podcast recordings, we talked about the fact that the longest-running sociological study in the history of America is the Harvard Study of Adult Development. It started in 1938. Spun out of that are all kinds of other studies that have run and run and run. And in conjunction with that, Gallup did a survey about the workplace.
Yep.
And Gallup, in this positive Likert statement study, said, I have a best friend at work. What's your response? 17% of workers in America, 17% said, I have a best friend at work. Because workplace vulnerability is not allowed.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's costly.
It's got to be even worse now with the remote working that everyone's doing.
Oh, exactly.
So it's even worse. So no one has a friend anywhere.
So fear, facade, every aspect of the worldly implementation of social media says, put a facade up. Don't be really who you are. Don't do that. Make it look better. And so we look at this fake best version of other people's lives and feel less than self.
Oh.
And so we feel like we have to put a fake version up. And that's on and on. Everybody knows.
That's 2,500 hours of our year.
Right.
That we're spending not being our true selves.
Not in the community.
And that's the, wow.
So we just did a 10-year impact study on our business group, because we started a business group 12 years ago with two intentions. Number one, steward our capacity to be in the market space, to generate income, to keep Narrowgate Lodge, which we'll talk about in a little bit, tuition free. We don't charge tuition to our students.
Yeah.
So keep that tuition free. We can do that by generating profit out of the workplace to return back to the nonprofit.
Love it.
So it's sustaining. It's internally sustaining. But really, the larger mission was to see if we could actually, not the taste of two, make disciples in the market space. Can we do that? Can we do the thing Jesus told us to do?
Right.
So we, at the 10-year point, we hired this dude. He actually wrote his PhD thesis on our business group and got his doctorate. So I guess he passed and we passed. What we found, one of the statements was 83% of our employee base, so 40-something employees, 83% of our employee base said they felt psychologically safe at work.
That's
the
huge.
The exact inverse of Gallup.
Right.
The
literally, yeah, 17% to 83. Wow.
The exact inverse. So it can be done.
Wow.
It can be done, man. So what would I do? I would make environments where people are allowed to be vulnerable for the sake of failing forward.
Mm.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good. Good podcast, boys.
Man, this has already been good. Well, okay, now that you've talked a little bit about your business, could would you mind sharing a little more about what Narrowgate is? I know there's a lot of facets to it, but would you mind kind of giving us an overview? I know we don't have a ton of time, but we'd love to hear, each part and maybe jump into one of those or
so
two of those.
Narrowgate is this dude named Jesus. He said, enter through the Narrowgate. He said, I am
that's
the gate.
It's good,
right?
Good.
Yeah, Narrowgate is a guy.
Yep.
It's a guy. It's a metaphor that points us back to, you know, I'm a good shepherd. Was Jesus actually a shepherd? No. But, right? They're all just ways of Jesus describing who and how he is. Because nobody comes back to the Father. There are a lot of people that can pursue a God that is edictatorial and oppressive.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Yeah.
But you can't get to a Father without coming through Jesus.
Correct.
So he's the gate, right? The gatekeeper.
Love it.
I think it's cool. Never mind. I'm going to dive way off. So what is Narrowgate? When Stacy and I had this encounter back in 2002 with God that just crushed our existence, and we said, okay, I get it. Here's everything. It's all yours.
Right.
And I'm sorry for claiming that I owned it in the first. What a stupid thing that was. I'm sorry that we thought we did this. Will you just take over and do whatever you want? So kind of a short story, we were a few months into this experience, and it's getting cold in Nashville, and we have this homeless ministry called Room in the Inn, where all the churches ecumenically come together. They go down to the homeless mission in downtown Nashville, and they'll take 12, 15, 8, 6, whatever guys, back to their church building and let them spend the night, cook them dinner, let them spend the night, to keep them out from under the bridges, give them a warm place,
good meal. Yep.
And they said, we need volunteers. And we volunteered for everything. We need somebody to, it didn't matter. We were going to be there. So we volunteered. We cooked dinner. It's a Monday night. We had 12 guys. It's in the fall, so Monday night football's on.
Oh, yeah.
So we had the dinner, and then there was a guy who gave that obligatory little, Jesus speech
like
at the end.
Gospel message thing, whatever,
And it's horrible. It's just terrible. I just be honest. And everybody's just enduring it because they know the game's starting.
Yep. Yeah.
And as soon as he said amen, which 11 guys out of the 12 over to the TV to watch the football game.
Yep.
And one dude sat there. The reason he didn't get up is because he had cerebral palsy.
Oh.
His name was Donald Harvell.
Okay.
He's 42 years old. That day, he had been released from a drug rehabilitation facility.
Wow.
They took him down, dropped him off at the homeless mission, and gave him a ticket to Room in the Inn for one night. That's it. That's what he got. And he wound up in front of us.
Yeah.
Now, they had told us going in, these are the best con artists in the state of Tennessee.
Yep.
Maybe in the world. Don't believe anything they say. Don't buy their story. Don't give them any money. Don't give them your phone. Look, feed them. Keep them warm.
Right.
Wake them up. Get them back downtown. That's it. We talked to Donald, and he sang a song. And the lyrics are, I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know about today, but I will know who holds my hand, and I know he leads the way. So come what may from day to day, I won't ever stray, because the Lord, he's good to me. He has never failed me yet.
Mm. Oh, man.
This dude was 42 years old, cerebral palsy, released from a drug addiction facility that day, homeless, penniless. He had the clothes on his back.
Yeah.
No family, no friends, nowhere to go. And he's saying, the Lord has never failed me yet. And I thought, bro, you are the poster child for what it looks like when God fails somebody.
Mm.
You're it.
Yeah.
Talked the rest of the night. The next morning we got up. I said, Donald, where are you going to go? I don't know. And he's calm about the whole thing. So I gave him $20 and I gave him my phone number and I told
did everything I wasn't supposed to. So I did everything I wasn't supposed to.
I did, man. I did. And said, look, there's a McDonald's on 12th and Broadway in Nashville. Go to that McDonald's, buy some food. Don't be indigent. I've got meetings this morning because we're still in business at this point. I've got meetings this morning. call me at this specific time when I've got a break. And I only had like a 15-minute window. Go across the street to the Exxon station where there's a pay phone, because that was the thing. Call me up. Donald, did you get anything figured out? No. Long story short, we went down and picked that dude up at 3 o'clock that afternoon because we didn't have a house anymore.
Right.
We lived in a house.
Yeah.
And God had extra bedrooms.
Yep.
So we brought him home. On the way, we stopped at Sam's Club and bought him some clothes because, oh my gosh, this dude stunk, man. Yeah. He was horrible. So we bring him home, we burn his clothes, feed him, and get to know him, and we fell in love with Donald. And one night, a couple months into this thing, we heard him in the bedroom. Our bedroom was upstairs in a loft that looked into the great room, and his bedroom was below us, and we could hear him, and he would fall asleep every night praying and singing. And he woke up the next morning and said he had a dream that he was back out on the street as a street preacher.
Stop it.
So we called some people and we got him connected to the Teen Challenge Ministry Institute in Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Yep.
Not Teen Challenge Classic. This is their ministry institute that trains street preachers.
Oh, wow.
And we took him down to Jacksonville. He'd never seen the ocean. So we drove him to the ocean and swung him around sideways in the seat. And I took his shoes and socks off because and I held his arm and we walked out into the ocean and he just stood there with tears rolling down his face. And I brought him back and set him down in the chair or the seat of the car. And I dried his feet off and I put his shoes and socks back on.
Yeah.
We took him over to the dorm and I kissed him on the face and we drove away. And once again, we were snot bubble crying.
Oh, absolutely.
And we said, God, if you would let us do that for the rest of our existence, we would gladly give up anything that we thought we wanted. Please.
Yeah.
Took another year and a whole lot of circumstances. And I met a 19-year-old kid who tried to kill himself twice.
Mm. Mm.
His dad at the time was the EVP of Thomas Nelson Publishing in charge of reference, Spanish, electronic, and Bible production.
Wow.
Right.
We were a software company.
Yep.
At that point in time, we'd gotten introduced to him, and we were writing all the software that came out of Nelson. So if you got a new Charles Stanley book and it had a little CD-ROM in the
back, yep,
we were creating all that stuff. Max Licato, you said, right? All that stuff. His son had tried to kill himself twice.
Oh, man.
We dropped off a product, and he invited me into his office, and he shut the door, and they never shut doors.
Yeah.
And he started crying, and he said, I'm going to lose my son.
Oh.
He had gone to Auburn. His first semester, come off the rails. He'd been through a year-long wilderness recovery program.
Yeah.
He went to Auburn, came off the rails, had gotten arrested 3 times, was writing about suicide again. And he said, will you just have lunch with my son? Because he loves the outdoors. And me and Stacy had just come back from a dog sledding trip in Canada. And he loves computers.
Yeah.
And you got a software shop.
Yeah.
So we had lunch with him, with his parents. He hated it. Walked outside, outside his mom and dad's house. He did, and I followed him. I said, dude, do you like living here? He said, no, it sucks.
Yeah.
And I said, you want to come stay at the place where we live? It's out in the woods. I won't try to pretend to be your dad.
Yeah.
You can hang out at our shop, see if you like what we do. He packed a bag and came home with us. At the end of a week or whatever, he went home, he got some more clothes, came back out.
Yeah.
He was really, really bright.
Yeah.
He'd gotten a 0.0 GPA his first semester. He's really bright.
Yeah.
Learned software like the wind. A buddy of his came to visit who had also gone through this year-long wilderness therapy program, and he was a heroin addict. And he literally scored some heroin, brought it out to our house in the country, shot up and went on the nod and went to sleep on one of the beds. Woke up and was leaving. It's like, man, obviously things aren't good right now.
Right.
Adam seems to like it here. If you ever need a safe place. He left, he called, he apologized and said, nobody has ever treated me that way when I did something that stupid.
Grace.
Could I come back?
Yeah.
So the two of them moved in. He was a super talented musician. He was writing a lot of soundtrack stuff for our software company. We were 3-4 months into this thing, and my wife looked at him one day and said, what do you guys want to do with your life? And they said, if we could figure out a way to start a program for guys like us, who have no idea who they are or what they want to do with their life.
Yeah.
And we went, yeah. And they said, would you help? And we went, well, yeah, with our, vast background in psychological therapy, behavior modification. We looked at him and said, we'll help.
Yeah.
But you got to know, if we're going to do this, it's got to have Jesus at the center of it. Because I don't think there's any such thing as this without Jesus.
Amen. Right. Amen. That's I'm loving this so far. Sorry. I'm like.
And so the heroin addict dude looked at us and said, yeah, we thought you'd say that. So here's our plan. We've been through this outdoor wilderness therapy. We know the outdoor stuff. We'll do the outdoor stuff, and you guys do the Jesus stuff.
Mm.
And we went, but see, it's your program. We got a company to run.
Right.
So you're going to have to learn this Jesus stuff at some point if you really want this to work.
Right.
And they went, fine, whatever. But we don't want to read the Bible. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? And I said, well, Stacy and I just finished a book written by this counselor, this psychologist. And it talks about how the human soul is formed. It's a really, really good book. It's in lay terms, so it's easy to understand. It's storytelling, kind of redneck like us, and da-da-da-da-da. They say, yeah, we'll read that a couple nights a week. When do you want to start? Well, we might as well start tonight. Turn out the book was Lifetime Guarantee by Bill Gillum, who Bill and Annabelle were the counselors at Dallas Theological Seminary for 173 billion years.
Right? Yes. Give or take a couple of years.
And in the first four chapters, he presents the gospel of Jesus.
Stop it.
That exchange life theory. So we read this book. Took us about a month into it. The heroin addict dude was completely unchurched.
Yeah.
Had never been in a church except for a wedding or a funeral in his life.
Yep.
And about, well, this was April now. Sat down one night. We studied every night. Like it just, except for the nights that the OC or the Real World was on because they wanted to watch that. And he put the book on top of his head and he went, okay, I get it. I give up.
Yeah.
What do I have to do to be a Christian? And I'm like, well, the fact that you're saying it kind of means you already are. Like, if you want to, like, talk to the guy who can make it happen and make it.
Yeah.
And the first guy, Adam, how's that? Our first student was named Adam.
Right.
Adam looked at Rob, the second guy, and he said, dude, you don't know this, but when we were at this place out in Washington State, this wilderness, I used to kneel down next to your cot at night sometimes.
Stop it.
And pray for you. Rob became a believer, and Adam came home. That was April 14th of 2004, and that started Narrowgate because it was their idea. And we exist to do one thing, make disciples.
Yes.
That's it. That's the only thing. And we do it by asking two questions. Who are you, and why are you here? That's it. Because if you get who are you, we did that exercise in the last one.
Yep. Yeah.
Then you can work toward, okay, if that's who I am, then why does God have me in this world?
Yes.
I know this podcast where these guys say that you should, you know, wake up and come on.
Sounds like a really good one.
We should probably listen to that
bunch
one.
Bunch of hot, hot messes who need Jesus. That's about it.
Yeah, this one guy's got a beautiful wife named Sarah.
Yes, extremely beautiful.
Anyway, hey, I have a beautiful wife
you
as
do.
Well. My wife, Tara, is stunning.
Oh, no. You did not marry Sarah and Tara. You did not do that.
We did. We're actually going to change this to the Married Out of Our League podcast, but we just didn't know if that was the same flavor.
Yeah. I already started that club. I am
exactly,
the
we are
chairman, president.
Founder chairman right there. That's it right there, man.
Well done, sir.
Okay. So since then, 650 guys have come to live in our house.
Wow.
We don't charge tuition.
Yeah.
8 months chasing these two questions. It's got a lot of structure to it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, if you know a guy who's searching for those two, look, he didn't have to be a believer. We have six criteria that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So openness to faith, not a believer, just open to the discussion. Openness to faith, desire to change, receptivity to feedback, learning orientation, tenacity and discipline and authenticity. That's what we're looking for. And we know how to screen for it.
Correct.
Because that second dude that moved in our house, his dad founded what was at one time the largest leadership training and hiring practice training organization in the world.
Wow.
1,100 employees in 27 countries.
Wow.
And he watched his son transform. And in 1 year, his oldest sister became a believer. His mom became a believer. His youngest sister became a believer. And his dad became a believer. His dad watched for a couple more years and said, I can help.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can teach you how to find the students you're looking for.
Mm.
We went from a 40% graduation success rate to a 90th percentile graduation rate because we know who we're looking for.
Okay, so a thread I want to pull that has nothing to do – well, it does because you have two examples, Adam and the other gentleman
Rob.
Who had – Rob.
By the way, let's finish the story. Then Rob is now the senior pastor of a 3,000-member church in Middle Tennessee. And he's married. And he's got four kids, and he's absolutely thriving.
Praise Jesus.
And he was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay, so both of them had successful dads.
Huge.
And yet, the blessing from dad wasn't being passed on to the sons. It maybe was, but it was not being embraced in the language that the son needed it at that time.
Dude, these guys loved their kids with all their heart.
Yeah.
They did the best they could. Their kids just hadn't met Jesus yet.
Mm.
You know, we tell parents sometimes, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I looked at Phil. That's Adam's dad. I looked at Phil so many times and said, yeah. You know, the only thing is, Adam just wasn't old yet. We didn't tell him anything different than Phil told him.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Just did it in a different environment, and he had to become that young man.
Yes.
Or that father that
yes.
we talked about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? It's,
yeah.
It's maturation. It's God's time, God's way. If Romans 8, 28 and 29 is true, if everything does work together for the good purpose of forming us into the image of Jesus,
right.
That takes time, and everybody's got to walk the path they've got to walk.
Yeah. Mm.
So had they passed the blessing as best they could, in the way that they could, in the way that they were, they didn't do anything wrong. They loved their kids with all their, they would have lived or died for their kids.
Right.
They just had to walk this path.
What I appreciate about that and what you're saying is it gives hope and freedom to dads that maybe have kids that have wandered or are struggling.
Yeah.
And so many times we will take that back on us and think that's a reflection of us and somehow we failed, somehow we're less than, or somehow we've created this problem. When in truth, what you're saying is like, God is with them and for them and loving them, and he's on this journey with them. And so trust God and the Spirit to awaken them at the right time.
Yeah. I worked on a cruise ship for a short season. I've done so
many crazy
things.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you work on a cruise?
And I made friends with the chief engineer, the guy who ran the engine. His name was Nikos Kalimakis, this lettered up old Greek smoking sailor.
Yeah.
Nikos Kalimakis, right? What a name.
Yeah. Nikos. Yeah.
Right. And I was standing on the bridge one night with Nikos, which I'm not supposed to be there, but he's a four striper, so who's going to tell him no? And we're looking out the window, and I noticed there were these like 4-inch tall red numbers that read at like 265.2, 265.3, 265.4, 265.5. And I said, is that like a trip odometer or something for the ship? And he went, no. Explicative. Y'all just fill in the blank.
Nikos.
Nikos Kalimakis. He said, no, it's the compass.
Oh.
And it went from 0.5 to 0.43210123452. It kept course adjusting.
Yeah.
So I'll ask a question. Can you build a ship that sails truly straight through the ocean?
Nope.
Then why would you think you can build a kid that sails straight
through
this life? The number of influences in wind and wave and rudder and speed and prop that need to come into a guy's life.
Yeah.
You started the last episode by saying, who's the dude that you'd like to go back and think? He's just one of the waves, one of the tides, one of the currents, one of the pools, one of the winds. It takes many to get
good. Stop it. So good.
If I can be used as one of them, the last thing in the world I'll do is take credit. Isn't that what God asked? Were you the one that told the waves to come this far?
Mm.
Like, bro, you didn't build the ocean. You didn't even really build the boat.
Yeah.
You're just a piece of, you're poema. You're that Ephesians 2 thing.
Yeah.
You're just a thread in the woven tapestry that is the great masterpiece of life.
Yeah, one note in the symphony of Jesus. It's so good.
Was it Mother Teresa that said, I'm but a simple pen? I think she said, I'm a pen writing a word in a chapter of the great story.
Right.
That is God's.
Mm.
I think it was, she said, that's not it, but just go look it up. It's, you know,
it's so encouraging for the wayward, the parent of the wayward child. That's like, what did I do? And they beat themselves up.
Okay. Guy, sorry, man. I got it. Would that kid, you're talking about Luke 15. Would that kid have ever come back to truly love his father if he had not first been put in with the pigs?
No.
No.
It was allowed. He was never going to know how good he had it with his dad until he knew how bad he had it outside.
Right.
It's why he had to go. Maybe they're not wayward. Maybe they are exactly on the path they're supposed to walk.
Well, what I love about that story, and I think sometimes we miss, is the brilliance of the dad to stop fighting. Because you know there was tension between the younger son and the dad.
Dude,
there had to be like, and the wisdom of the dad to say, it's better for you to go. So here's my inheritance. Here it all is. Take it and go. Because he knew that if he continued that fighting,
that's right,
it never would have been healed.
And what did he point out to the older brother? You never gave me so much as a kid goat that I might make merry with my friends. He said, son, all I'm right here with you always. Yes. And all yeah. I have is yeah. yours. Y'all, if you go back, when it says, he said, Father, give me the portion that falls to me. Yeah. So he divided to them, not him, them, his livelihood. That older son would have got 2/3 of the inheritance on the spot, and yet he's accusing his dad of not giving him something
interesting.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad didn't slap either of kids on the head. He didn't recognize their sin. He simply let them come to an understanding of how good he was. That's it.
And, yeah. You know, and it's relationship.
Yeah, the encouragement of, again, the foundation was built that when that kid, when the prodigal son was eating pig slop, he had a vision
right.
of what was better. Like my
That's
dad,
right.
he said, I would even go back because he didn't feel worthy. I'll go back as one of my dad's hired hands because I know his grace is there. I know that his grace is at least enough
for the hired
for me to be a hired hand.
Right.
And the dad's like, oh, it's so much more than you even understand.
That's right.
And so you're right. He built a foundation from the beginning that did not return void. Isaiah talks about that the word of the Lord doesn't return void. And I don't think it's just we're going to open up the book of, you know, of Romans and start reading it to you. It is the word becomes flesh and we live it and dwell among our kids and go, this is what it looks like that
yep.
when you walk away, I'm ready for you to come back.
Bro, all day.
Oh,
all
dude.
Day.
So, oh all my gosh. Day. I know we haven't talked about Narrow Gate and we're going to probably have you on again. But the thing I love about this is you've not cared about sharing about your ministry 1 minute.
Right.
You've
Man,
cared about helping
no,
men
I did.
Come alive.
I have, that's all I've talked about is our ministry. Jesus is our ministry.
And,
period.
But,
yeah,
but,
that's
but,
it.
Oh, I love it. But I feel like the tangible, you're not like, well, we have our 7 parts, and which I want to. But
okay,
I love that you're.
Let's just do it real fast. You know a guy who needs to discover who he is and why he's here in life, look up narrowgate.org or nglodge.org, fill out an application, and send him. Ask a guy this. If you could take 8 months
yeah.
and you have no bills to pay, you have nothing to worry about, you have no connect, you get to be isolated, fraternally connected, and chase the answer to 2 questions. Would you take that chance? Would you take that if it was handed to you on a silver platter? Because we don't charge tuition.
Yeah.
We take qualified candidates and we make disciples.
Mm.
Then when that's done, if you want to figure out how to integrate that even further, we have another 8-month program called Narrow Gate Bridge, which is an active internship where you're not making coffee. You're learning 6 marketplace competencies like coaching, communication, stewardship, managing work, teamwork, learning.
Yes.
You're managing those week over week for 36 weeks integrated with our business units and the Narrow Gate Lodge program.
Right.
That's a 1.5-year chance, and you get paid for doing that one.
Yeah.
That's a 1.5-year chance to discover how to come alive in Christ.
Ugh.
Some of those people join our full-time wood, leather, and coffee businesses in Narrow Gate Artisans. Right? And some people come from the outside.
Which the coffee's because, incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, the market, they're geeks, man. They're just geek out on coffee. Like they talk, this has notes of walnut and vanilla, and I don't even know what that stuff means, man.
And we will put links below, guys, for all this stuff. I know you're not asking that, but I'm going to put it below. So look, make sure you guys go and buy at least 1 pound of coffee from these guys. I'll put the link below.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. I don't care about anything except Christ coming fully alive.
Yeah.
Inside of every person I don't even care about being evangelistic.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
I don't figure out ways to tell people the story of Jesus. If I can love the person that's in front of me, regardless, I'm not looking for an outcome. If I can love them so deeply that someday they look at me and go, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done my job.
Yep. Yep.
I've done my job, man. If you treat people as if they already are the thing you hope they'll become, it's amazing what happens.
That's a mic drop right there. And gentlemen, if you're doubting this, please, before we even got on to the second part, we had a conversation, and I know that you have a book that your wife was more than willing to give away. And so if you would tell us a little bit about that book.
Yeah, share that.
And then if
so
you want it, info@nonlegacy.org, we'll pass it up the chain, and we'll make sure you get one in your hands sooner than later.
Yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes where I could shout across the backyard to my wife and ask her what the email address is. But
yes, actually, his better half is with us silently enduring the heat with us. But
So click the link, and we'll send you an identity booklet. There are 170 passages in the New Testament about who you are in Christ.
Wow.
And they change everything when you start to believe them.
Right.
When you actually believe, that's not something I have to put on. That's literally who I have become.
Yes.
That's it.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of this. This I really has been, appreciate it. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, this has been amazing. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of just sitting here just hearing your heart and the desire to see people come alive. I'm almost like speechless
this is what's happened. We've gone from two dudes in our living room, a heroin addict and a suicide candidate, to, let's just call it, 40 employees, 36 students a year in Narragate Lodge and 20 Narragate Bridge. And we are directly interconnected to 96 everyday lives that we get to mold into the image and likeness of Christ. And it's not our goal to keep them.
Right.
It's our goal to build them up and then find where God wants to put them. And all we do is push. We've got missionaries in places around the world where we don't talk about because they kill missionaries in those places. Like bad countries.
Right.
I've got a dude right now that's working with two ex-Delta Force guys as a missionary going into the child abusive, gender irrespective, child abusive brothels in Thailand, claiming that they're setting up a bachelor party for a buddy wearing body cameras.
Yeah.
So they can capture the footage for the police to go in and rescue these 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls. Like, that's the stuff you get killed over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they do it because their life is not their own. They've been bought with a price. I got a guy who's an auto mechanic who has his oldest daughter is a special needs girl, and he thinks she's the princess of the world.
Yeah.
He's a great husband and a great dad. Don't try to teach a pig how to sing.
Yeah.
Figure out who they're supposed to be
and
push as hard as you can push.
I love it.
I kind of feel like I want to end it with, what would you, to wrap it up, what would you say is a call to action that we can ask these guys who are listening? I think we've already got it, but I'd love to clarify that and say just final thoughts on that. Like, what would you say to the guys listening right now?
Yeah, so there's a generic call to action. You know, recognize that you have nothing. Just hand yourself over to Jesus. Mm. You know, anyone who seeks to save his life, right? We all know that one.
Yeah.
Just let him be your life. Yeah. If you can do that, that starts the journey. But where it goes from there is as individual as every listener you've got on this podcast right now.
Yeah.
So I'll say this. Contact one of you two. Hmm. Send an email and go, where do I go? Yeah. What do I do? Better yet, contact me if you want to.
Right. Yeah.
Come to Tennessee. Hang out with us for a while. We've got tree houses. I wanted to build tree houses. My wife said, okay, if they're female friendly. I said, I don't know what that means. She said they got to have air conditioning and memory foam mattresses.
She is a smart woman.
Plumbing, like working toilets and showers. And so we built houses in the trees. Come stay in a tree house. Costs you nothing.
Wow.
Eat with us.
Yeah.
Be with us. Learn with us. Hang out with us. It is sanctuary where we live. Come encounter God. We don't want anything.
Yeah.
Except for you to come fully alive. That's what we want. So find one of us. If you're really asking the question, find one of us.
Yes.
Bill or our other brother Travis and say, wait, can we throw Kyle in the mix?
Oh, yeah, Kyle's in there too.
And say, help me, I'm lost.
Yes.
Be 83%.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable.
Yes.
Fail forward.
Yes. Mm.
There's a first step. There's a call to action.
Yep. Love it. Absolutely love it.
So good. I mean, we're going to have you on again. There's no choice. You don't have an option with that. We'll just pipe you in. But, man, we are grateful to have you on. This has been
a
blessing.
Like I'm AI.
You are.
You did not. When you were making the disclaimer at the front of the show, you did not claim
that you're AI.
The other
That's true.
Because you said Bill 1.0, which kind of sounds AI-ish. It
sounds kind of AI-ish.
And I feel like I got thrown under the bus, bro.
You
kind of
did.
I've been
honest.
He is real flesh and blood, let me tell you.
I cannot be the 1.0 in this situation.
No,
I am
so
like
glad to have
literally 7.8.
The silent guy in the corner who will recognize me for the man that I am.
There it is right there. I love it.
See, and he still didn't speak. He just thumbs up.
Oh, man. Guys, we will put all these links at the bottom. We will get that link for you from you for that free
identity booklet.
The identity booklet. Guys, I hope this has encouraged you. If you have,
I'll go further.
Go for it.
We have a lot of stuff like that. If you really want to chase it, we have a lot of stuff we teach at Narragate. We've got like 9 or 11 books or something like that now. If you say, hey, I found out about you on Known Legacy Podcast and send us an email, you can have it. You can have it for free. Matter of fact, I'll throw a bag of coffee in there too. Like just whatever, like
awesome.
Please.
Gentlemen, there's no excuses, no reason not to pursue.
None whatsoever. This has been amazing. You know, I do feel led to pray for the guys who are listening right now.
Do it, man.
I just feel like there's a lot of guys.
For him, he knows what's right to do and does it not.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys. And for you, if you're out there, and I don't care where you are in your journey with the Lord, if you are a pastor and your kids have walked away, if you are just a normal dude who's driving up and down the interstate trying to go to work and be a good person, we're going to pray for you right now. So, Father, I just lift up the man listening or the woman who's listening. Lord, I pray you would destroy the thoughts that are holding them back, Father, as they have expounded grace on their child, as they have loved their child, as they have believed, I have failed so much and I can't believe that my child is the way that they are. Father, just like Bill 1.0 said, Lord, that this journey needed to happen and there is purpose and value in it. Lord, we plan our way, but you direct our steps.
That's right.
And Lord, your spirit does the leading. Lord, I pray you would bless the individual listening with peace that passes understanding, with a wisdom beyond their years, just like Acts 1:8 talks about, that you have sent the Spirit that is the power of all of us, Father, because of what Christ has done in us and the Spirit living in us. May we, Father, be hope to hopeless people.
Yeah.
Remind ourselves, Father, that the story isn't over, that there's no period at the end of a story with a life that is still breathing. Father, you have great words to say to each of us. And Lord, we ask that you would use this for your glory, that you would spread this to others, Lord, that we would share it in our own journey to be an encouragement, that we'd get in the truth and remind ourselves that we have a God who is stupid, crazy, in love with us, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And Father, I just pray a blessing over Narrow Gate, Father, that you would continue to expand its borders. Lord, it doesn't sound like they're trying to expand. They don't have a 10-year plan. They have Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, that's all we need.
Yes.
And Father, may we take that to our own heart and say, Father, we just need you. So Father, use this for your glory. Bless those who need a blessing, Father. Give grace to those who need grace. Give a kick in the pants to those who need a kick in the pants. Father, remind us all that this is all done by your power alone. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
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 Guys, thank you so much for listening today, for being a part of this. I pray that you would reach out. I'm literally sitting here with tears in my eyes because I'm like, there's something powerful about what God wants to do in and through your life. Don't forget that. Whether you're the prodigal son or you're the father of the prodigal or you're the parent of the prodigal, Lord, I know the Lord wants to use it. Bill, thank you so much for your willingness to be on the podcast. And you're stuck with us now. I wish that our ministries blended more.
What a privilege.
But man, we are so excited. I'm just kidding. But I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you for your willingness. And for your wife, thank you so much for your willingness to say, we're going to do the crazy. And We do. She does. She said, okay, I'm doing this with you. And so I know she's the smarter one in the situation. We haven't heard from her yet. I know that. But we are grateful for your ministry. We'll put all the links below, guys. There's nothing else that really needs to be said. But, Travis, any final thoughts from you?
God bless you guys.
Guys, have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the No Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@nolegacy.org.